Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
I'm KC.
And I'm Tyler.
And you're listening to
The Element Podcast.
What is happening, all you wood people out there? My goodness.
Wood ones.
Would you like to know? Anywhere the wind blows.
Pinocchio's
man,
out
it
there.
Is a stormy day here in East Texas. We're under tornado watch. It's about 87, 90 degrees outside. And, man, spring has sprung. That's the way it goes down here. And this is the Element Podcast brought to you by First Light Gear. Get all of your turkey hunting essentials over at firstlight.com. We, however, are not going to talk turkeys. We did some of that last week with old Michael. We might have a Michael moment later today because there's always a Michael moment. Mm-hmm. And then also, we're going to talk a lot of whitetail stuff. So I know some of you people out there are fiending. You cannot wait to get out there and velvet scout, hang cameras in April and all that stuff, right? Because whitetail is what we love, and it's true. I love it just as much as the next guy. However, it is probably wise, in my opinion, to meter your excitement and direct it in certain directions throughout the year because you can wear yourself out. You can wear your family out. You can wear your pocketbook out. You can do a lot of things that actually end up inhibiting your ability to kill a deer when it comes fall. Okay, so what we're going to talk about today, of many things, but our main topic is going to be going through the year as a whitetail deer hunter. And we're going to go around the room and talk about what you can do in each month that will actually make you a better whitetail deer hunter, what you can do related to whitetail deer to maybe improve your deer habitat, a number of things. But it's all going to be about whitetail through the year. Tyler's here as well, and he is wearing a Bear Grease shirt, which apparently is like, I don't know for sure, but I think that's that thing they put outside of the houses in the 80s that caught all the grease, right? And that's the Bear Grease trap.
Yep, that's it.
And then Brian Bostick is over there. He's been having him some breakfast lately in good old Rockwall, Texas.
we're doing that, huh?
Okay. And I didn't do it. and now he is here. He didn't want lunch. Apparently, breakfast was filling. We are going to talk about this, and Brian's a little different than Tyler and I. He doesn't do what Tyler's freaking out right now. What's wrong?
I didn't breathe for like a minute there. Dude.
What's wrong?
You said you were going to talk about this. I don't know how much you want to talk about breakfast, but Just let me know.
Breakfast.
Well,
with
I ordered
Tiffany.
A breakfast burrito for lunch, and I told them I wanted huevos con chorizo, and I said also some papas in there, and they forgot the papas. So,
oh boy,
I don't know.
You know what that
not
is?
Not a good way to start your day.
No.
You ever
well,
had
I didn't
them?
Start my day. It was midday.
No.
It's candy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Some things at Pop Rocks.
That's it. So, Brian hunts a little different than Tyler and I do. He's killed a lot of deer. Brian, you've killed quite a few deer with a rifle, too. So, that's a little bit different perspective. You've also killed, at least me, a lot more private land deer than I have, which is cool, right? Only the peasants hunt public ground.
That's
the,
right.
The real hunters hunt private ground, which mm-hmm. is really nice. I'm looking to do more of that in the future. So you're going to have some perspective and some other stuff to talk about that might not come top of mind for me at least. And then Tyler's going to also see, I wish y'all could just have the view. You know, someone asked recently mm-hmm. if we had any interest in videoing our podcast. And
there's a reason why.
There's just no way.
No.
There's no way we could do it.
Y'all don't understand what happens that you don't hear about.
That's right.
Man.
That's right,
it's
man.
It's bad.
Yeah. The, you
I mean,
know,
it's fun, but.
When you're listening to a podcast, you're only employing one sense of your body. But recording these podcasts, we use all five senses.
That's
if
right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's so, right. Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff going on around here.
Yeah. You might just catch somebody picking their nose
be,
if we did
would be
the
comical.
Video.
That's it, man. You'd see me picking my beard a lot. You'd see Brian stroking his mustache. And then I don't really know what Tyler's nervous
I
habit is.
I get up and
is.
Pee all the time.
Yeah. Actually, if Tyler has a nervous habit, it's like aggressive knee bouncing. That's probably Tyler's nervous habit. and it's funny, too. If you're riding in the truck and you ever see Tyler, like, on a quarter note cadence, like, stomping his foot, that's because he really has to pee really bad.
Oh, dude. So much pee.
Yeah. So, on that note, April has a pee in it. So, we're going to start with April.
April.
It is the next, you know, when it comes to the woman's name, April...
Uh-huh.
I think that it's said more that way more often.
Really? I say it the same way all the time.
I probably do, too. But
it's like I ain't changing Megan.
Megan? Megan. Yeah. Megan.
Megan.
I knew a M-A-G-O-N in college. Dated her.
Mogan?
Megan. She Megan. Did not like it. You calling her Megan, though.
Yeah. Maybe her parents shouldn't have spelled it that way.
Maybe they should.
Or she should have changed it when she got into college.
Yeah. My name's Calum, by the way. with an M. April is the most pressing month. In fact, when this podcast release, it is April. Mm. Not a lot of people are thinking about whitetail, but maybe you should, and here's why. In April, in my opinion, it is one of the best months to dial in your archery equipment and get started on that. Because you have time to make adjustments, time to make changes, potentially purchase a new bow if it's something you're interested in doing. Me, I'm sticking with the same bow I shot last year, so now I'm just kind of... making tweaks, maybe changing up arrow setup a little bit, maybe not, I don't know, trying some new stuff. But what I really like to be able to do is in the spring, like April time period, get figured out what I'm going to shoot that year. I really don't like the anxiety that comes along with it being like July or August and making changes on my archery setup. Like I want to just get that thing where I like it and shoot it all summer long and just make it a part of my body. And you can't do that if you do it too late in the year. So that's why that is my choice for April as what I think a whitetail hunter can do in the month. Like one of the most valuable things a whitetail hunter can do that month is dial in your archery equipment. Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
We didn't go through these to make sure we don't have the same ones, but
we meant to do that. Yeah.
That's not mine for sure.
Okay.
So we actually, you know, also live south of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
We live like pretty far south in the U.S. So some of our answers might be a little different than other people's. So I'm just going to do these. These are what Tyler Jones might do for whitetail year round, but. Really, what he really wants to do in this time of month is fish.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, but of course, like, there's always, you don't just have to, like, you just don't just go fishing. There's things you can do for whitetail in the month of April, and probably I do.
Yeah. It's not your top thing of all that you want to do this month. But as a person who very much enjoys the white-tailed animals, right, you're going to think about it a little bit this month.
In the South, I have not done much of this, but we start to get pretty good rains this time of year, March, April, and even in May a lot of times. But it starts getting real hot in May. Things dry out real quick. And then by the time you get to July, things can really get dry. Planting some of your stuff that you would want to plant this time of year is a good thing to do. So getting some little food plots in, going, basically increasing some of the forage around your property or wherever you're going to hunt, maybe getting some protein and some, you know, spreading a few different mixes in the ground and, you know, seeing what really pops up for you, and then maybe fine-tuning that over the course of the years. But April is a pretty good time to get some things in the ground.
You know, it's an interesting thing you bring up, and I think one of the things we're going to do is have some dialogue back and forth about these ideas. I tried to grow a fall food plot last year, and it probably – I haven't grown a lot of fall food plots, but it probably was one of the worst years you could ever try to do that because I think from about – August until, I don't know when, November, we might have had an inch of rain. I mean, it was bad. So I didn't, nothing hardly grew. I had a few wheats that grew up, but it ain't enough to make a difference, right? Later, because the seeds just held over for a while. But what that means is that I had a pretty much fallow plowed plot behind my house that didn't really grow anything until this past couple weeks. And now it's Forbes Central back there. And the deer walk around out there a lot. Eating and messing around. So just I say that to make the point that even soil disturbance, you know, maybe you don't have time to plant a plot or you're unsure of rains or don't have the time to invest in know what you're going to plant. Just go out there and disc a couple rows and see if it doesn't just look a little different and make something different grow.
Yep, for sure. That's my deal. What about you, Brian?
April is when I like to move my stands and feeders. On private land before it gets hot. I like to go usually go turkey hunting, make it kind of a combo trip, and you know, the spots that I've wanted to move during deer season, it's I always try to wait till about April to move those and get them ready for next year. So moving stand and feeder locations
with the idea of moving a feeder, that implies that a feeder for you is not a destination food source for deer. You're much more slowing them down. Like, why do you want to move a feeder? You know, because a lot of people, especially if they come from a state where you don't have feeders, might think of it as like the feed trough.
Yeah.
And that's where the deer go and eat. So it's like, why would you move it? Because they come to you, right? But like, why are you thinking about moving feeders?
A feeder location, like you just said, it is to slow a deer down in order for me to get a shot at it. But I also move them around to target different deer. If I locate a buck this year, you know, not on a feed source, I mean, some of those mature bucks you'll never see at a food source, but in hopes of me moving a food source, it's either for a better stand location or to target different deer.
Gotcha. Cool, oh, yeah. Man. I like it. Brian, go ahead and tell us your May choice as well.
My May choice.
It's going to be May.
It's kind of to go with the stand locations. I like to do location management before it gets hot. So most of what I hunt, I would say 90% is private. And I like to go to these areas and get stuff ready for the summer rains and forage control, spraying, putting out feed, protein, and getting them ready for the heat of the summer.
What's your favorite day in May?
This is a trick question, isn't it?
My
favorite day in May.
My sister and my brother-in-law got married on this date. That's your favorite day?
May the 4th?
Mm-hmm.
What is?
Because they're nerds? Or they just happen to be?
No,
I think May the 4th be with you?
Yeah, May the 4th be with you.
So corny.
Revenge of the 5th?
You guys.
You'll have a sixth sense of humor.
So, Tyler, how about you, sir?
Lease ground. If you're going to get a deer lease, May's a pretty good time to do it. Some of the turkeys seasons are starting to wrap up, and it's time to kind of renew. So
I got you. You were talking about this the other day. I didn't really realize that it was a thing, that May is kind of the turnover month for that.
I think for a lot of people it is.
Mm-hmm. So if you're thinking about doing some lease ground, do you need to have this stuff keyed up before May and, like, be ready to sign in May, or is May when you start looking?
I think it's just good to ask somebody. Hey, I mean, I'm not waiting on stuff like that usually, but, you know, calling people and letting them know. But if you have people that are like, oh, I got somebody leasing it right now, May's probably a good time to check back with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's all just dependent upon the landowner, different seasons, who has it leased currently or whatever. So, but I mean, May is my choice of, May's not a great month to do deer hunting things. So mm-hmm. that's, what you're doing.
That's,
I guess,
why,
if I was going to make a thing.
May for me, I told y'all that I did have one, like, cheesy answer month, and I assume y'all kind of afforded the same thing.
Hunter, all serious.
Man, look at you. You're a serious guy.
I am.
You're a serious deer hunter.
So serious.
I'm just a big deer hunter. May is, this is an old term, podcast two, I believe, episode two of the Element Podcast.
Briar Tuck.
Is that two?
I think so.
What was Brownie Points, three?
I don't know.
Maybe it's one. Was one burning Brownie Points?
I don't know. This is one of my least favorite episodes.
I think that like the first like 25 or something actually aren't on the internet, so it's interesting.
Good.
I don't know how it happened.
I hope not.
It was a lot slower paced back then. Build some Brownie Points is what May is good for. If you're a family guy, it's a good time to get some of that vacation stuff done or some projects that your wife or mom or dad or whoever's been asking you to do. You can take vacations and it not be blazing hot, at least where we live. Like, people
Here's
think
the
about
issue
July.
That you may not think about yet.
What's that?
Most people have kids in school mm-hmm. in May.
It's true.
So it's a tough time for people to take vacations because everything's wrapping up into school year stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So most people are in the June, July thing.
School runs to June now too. Mm-hmm. Like growing up for us, like I felt like May 18th, May 20th, we were out of school.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
My granddad's birthday is May 20th, and I always remember, like, getting out of school around his birthday. And now, like, these kids are in school June 1st, June 2nd a lot of times.
Yeah.
But, nevertheless, don't do anything the last 6 weeks of school anyways. pull them out and go, or just take long weekends or whatever. But the point being with that choice was that, at least if you live where we do, people – often think about vacationing in June, July, August, and it is blazing hot, and you don't even want to be outside midday in those months. So May is a good time to
hope you make it to the mountains.
That's right. Just don't go when I do, man.
So another thing that you can do in May that I just thought about, since everybody's so ready to just deer hunt in May, is you can watch a YouTube series called The Buck Truck,
baby.
So if you're really wanting to just learn some things about deer hunting via mine and KC's mistakes, you can watch the Buck Truck video series on Meat Eater's YouTube in May. So be ready for that.
Yeah.
And make sure you're subscribed to the Meat Eater channel.
What's the plan for that, man?
Don't watch any of the other videos except for ours.
Yeah, that's right. How does that release? Is that going to be just a big May, just boom, here's all the episodes?
I think it's like a weekly thing.
Interesting.
Who knows, man? I don't even know. I mean, I think it's supposed to be like every week, but you never know. Things change, man, you know?
Yeah.
But as far as I understand, we got one coming out every week. So I'm really excited, mainly because we just put so much work into it, man. And I'm still just, I mean, Eric would have been on this podcast, but instead he's just sitting over there in my chair looking at Instagram because he has to work a lot.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, he's working on Buck Truck stuff.
I don't know if you know this, but
that's not what's happening right now.
One of the Cardinals prospects sang the Dominican national anthem at his local hometown game the other day.
Really?
So, yeah.
Really?
So Eric was posting about that.
He's still a high schooler though, right?
Yeah, I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but maybe, he has a full beard.
Well, yeah, and he's guaranteed 30,000 this year. He'll and then if he makes it to the AAA, he'll be making a lot more money. That's so right. 27.
Brian, what's your May look like?
My May.
You already said that. Hey, yeah, sorry.
But something else to add to May. Okay. Are there May whitetail tags that y'all put in for?
There may or may not be.
Okay. That's what I was just thinking of. So the next 3 months for whitetail is not fun.
Yeah,
actually,
you're right.
Try not to even think about
it. It's the worst.
But in preparation for the next season.
Brian's I can tell you what I do for whitetail in May. I go shark fishing.
Yeah. Yeah, hone my skills somewhere where there's water.
Tyler?
Yeah.
June.
So these are back to back, maybe the worst months.
You can't say this every time.
The next four are
April, May, June, the worst.
And
for
August,
sure.
August is miserable.
I mean, I'll definitely start my shooting regimen pretty heavily by June. But it hurts me to do this, y'all. Like, I hate cliches and generic type stuff.
You're middle-aged white man, Tyler.
Velvet scouting.
Okay, velvet scouting.
Essentially, by this, I mean, here's how you would do this. In June, you're not seeing a lot of growth, but what you see is bigger deer are growing their main beams out wider and quicker and growing nice brow tines and growing heavier mass than the smaller deer in this quick time of growth right here at the beginning of antler growing season. And so the best way, in my opinion, to do velvet scouting in June is to have trail cameras out, finding these bucks. This is for the guy who really cares about finding the buck. You know what I mean? So a guy who has a one buck county, who wants to shoot one buck, or, a guy is, and most of it's going to be local, right? So get your cameras out. If you want to do some scouting in the evenings or whatever on field edges and that kind of thing, looking for bucks coming out, if you're really into this kind of thing, you want to do that. But, trail cameras are kind of the way that I'm thinking mainly. Find deer with big bases that are getting out wide really quick on their antler growth in June. And that's a good way to go, okay, I found a guy that's, going to be a potential shooter. So I'm going to keep an eye on him and try to, pin his summer range so that I have a good idea, of where he'll be in the fall maybe. Yeah.
O'Reilly Auto Parts are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. I don't know if you stopped in at an O'Reilly lately, but I use one because we have one right not too far from my house. People there are super helpful. I don't care if I'm getting boat batteries, car parts, whatever. Love those guys. They got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you don't have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. If you need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, quick service, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you are a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts to be knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things do-it-yourself auto. You can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
You ever get that feeling you're stuck inside staring at screens and a primal urge kicks in? You crave wide open spaces, fresh air, the chance to connect with the land? Well, maybe it's time to find your own piece of the wild, but searching for property can be a maze. That's where land.com comes in. They got millions of listings across the country, from mountain ranches to hidden fishing holes. Their search tools are like a seasoned guide helping you narrow down what you want. Land.com isn't just about buying and selling. It's about finding a place to hunt, fish, explore, or simply sit by a campfire and listen to the crickets. So head over to land.com today to turn one day into today. Because trust me, there's nothing quite like the feeling of standing on your own piece of earth.
Should have not let you go first because my answer was deploy private land trail cameras. If you're a guy who likes to develop history with a deer on private ground, it's time to start building it in June. You can find the deer, and the difference in private and public is that oftentimes on private, you can do things to keep them around.
Yeah.
And they don't move as much. In my experience, at least on stuff that has higher pressure on it, you know, if you're in a state that has limited public pressure, that's awesome. You might be able to find some spots, or you might be able to go really deep somewhere where there nobody goes and it make it worth it. But it's not worth it, at least in Texas, to put out trail cameras. We've done it this time of year, and it doesn't pay any dividends at all except for making you sweat and lose weight and get you out there. So it's worth
it.
There's something to it. Yeah, get some fever ticks for sure. But since you said deploy private land, or you said something about trail cameras,
You're good. You got a different one. You're good.
Is that
dude.
Different enough?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Brian will have something different.
All right, Brian, tell us something.
Shark fishing.
So I also had cameras, June is when I like to gear prep.
Okay.
Like to get my stuff from the season organized and order, and I also like to get online and order some First Light cameras.
Man, you know, ordering stuff online is a good one. I should have thought of that, man.
That is the
June
month
is the time
to do it. Yep. And just get my stuff ready for September.
Once you see how many deer die in buck truck while guys happen to have on a piece of First Light camo,
oh my gosh,
you will be
this
convinced
is
by
sick.
June for sure.
This is making me sick. Brian,
that is awesome.
Brian does love the Source vest or Source jacket.
We all do.
Yep.
So, you know, he'll be able to definitely vouch for that Source jacket.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Good one, Brian.
Yeah.
Way to go, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's just what
July.
I do in June.
You know what I do in July? We all do.
Sweat.
Shoot a ton.
Yep.
That's
shoot
also
your
what I have.
Bow, man. Shoot. It is a great month to get out and shoot your bow. It's super hot in the daytime, but the days are really long, so you get a long period in the evening. Sometimes after supper, right? Because, like, in the middle of summertime, supper is long before the sun goes down, for me at least. So, like, you can get the whole family outside, do a little shooting, and it's just can be enjoyable in the evening sometimes, and you're just kind of used to sweating by that point in time. But it's a great time to just get out there and shoot a ton.
I also had shoot.
That's
shoot.
Right.
That is when I shoot. Like to shoot my bow. I like to have it somewhere it's easily accessible. Like the garage or back door or something. I like to take a couple of shots every evening. Also July. Getting ready for deer season. You're really starting to tell what these bucks are fixing to become.
Yep.
June, I feel like you know they're a good deer, but July, you actually can start seeing good pine length.
It's like confirmation
stuff.
That that deer with big bases actually is turning out to be a shooter.
Yep,
for sure.
A good deer. So,
I like to map scout in July because it's super hot, like you said, especially for us. And
you don't like the challenge portion, though?
No, not at all. Not at all. It's quite challenging enough on the couch.
That's right.
I do like sitting around doing some map scouting, dreaming of what's going to happen when you get there in September and October and November, and just, you know, just being excited. It's all just like it's really the beginning of the pump fest, because you start to kind of just visualize in your mind what these places look like, especially if you've been there before to the area. You start to go, oh, I know what that's going to look like. It's going to be pretty good. But there's also this anticipation of not knowing exactly what it looks like, just having a good idea of the flora in the area.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the hype that I love. I love that. Like, I always loved when I duck hunt, especially when I was like real crazy about it in high school and college. My favorite part of duck hunting, maybe as much as like any of it, was the afternoon before finding ducks and just being like, I can't even sleep tonight. I'm so juiced up to see what happens in the morning, you know?
Yeah. And if you do like to do some map scouting, I do know that OnX is the app I use. It's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. Been using it for a long time and don't really have a reason to change because it does everything I need it to do.
Yep.
And
you've got 2,500 pins.
That's right. I can't even like, imagine transitioning that pins to an inferior program, right? Yeah. But I believe that if you use code ELEMENT, you can get a discount on some OnX. So
really?
Check that out.
That sounds interesting.
What was I going to say in relation to that? I don't even remember at all. Sorry, I got lost in the moment.
You know? August, bro. Go to August.
Is just going straight to it?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's what it was. Before we get to August, we're going to do some Q&A type stuff on a podcast soon. And if you got some questions or some thoughts that you want to share, if you want to send those to theelement@themeater.com, that is a place where all of our podcast stuff is going to land, and y'all can get that stuff over to us. If you got any questions for us, the way we do stuff, buck truck stuff, whatever it may be, let us know. We'll be sure to answer those sometime pretty soon.
Let us know. Let us know.
Speaking of snow, here's August, don't you know? Tyler and I actually saw snowy snow in August one time. You have to go all the way to Canada to see that.
Actually, I feel like I was in the Arctic.
Yeah, for sure. It was cold.
Yep.
Can't imagine. We're about to get cold again this week.
Stupid.
So, one of my favorite things to do in August to help me prepare for deer is to find a living target to shoot at. I know this might be tough up north. I don't know what y'all have or what the prospects are. Maybe you can shoot a woodchuck or some type of small
bear,
wild beast in August. But around here we have hogs, and I like to shoot hogs all year round. But August in particular, it is a real good thing. It might even be worth a trip to go try to hunt some hogs just to get the rust knocked off, because hogs are – the best spot and stalk animal I've ever hunted, because your odds of success are pretty high, but you can't be sloppy at the same time. So, like, it is a really good way to brush up on your skills and shoot something alive and find something pretty good to eat, too.
They're all targets, man.
They are. That's exactly right.
If I'd have considered that when I had them piglets walk out the other day, we'd have some pork right now.
Did the same thing when we were down there axis hunting, dude. We had like 25 of them in the pasture, and I thought I was going to try to shoot the boar. I don't know why. There was like, and they were all like 30 yards.
I think it's
yards.
Just instincts in a man to just try to shoot the biggest.
You know what
the
it
biggest
was?
Of them.
Yep.
Greg, he was like, that boar back there, he's got foam all in his mouth. I was like, okay, I'll shoot that one.
That's cool.
Greg is the ultimate hot man over
here.
He is,
dude. I've been watching some South Dakota stuff, and like, dude, just, I can't ruin this one for you, but I will say, like, there's a deer that comes out for KC, and KC goes, he's too far. And Greg just straight up says, no, he's not. He's like, you got this, be calm.
Oh, man. Brian?
So August, is a miserable month here in Texas.
You ain't lying, dude.
It is probably the hottest. Some people up north just don't understand how hot it gets here.
They don't understand how hot it is in March right now.
For real, dude.
I like to fine tune, my archery stuff. I'm really focusing on what broadheads I'm going to shoot for the year. Arrows, my bow setup. I want it to be finished.
What broadheads did you shoot last year?
I shot the Grim Reaper Whitetail Specials.
Golly.
And the Magnus Stinger Broadheads.
Y'all have an argument about this,
Hornets,
right?
Black Cornets.
I don't argue with people.
I thought y'all had a Magnus argument between y'all two.
We did. About what broadhead I shot the year before.
Yeah, the Cornet.
The Cornet.
Black Cornet. Black Cornet.
He likes the woodwinds, from what I understand.
The woodwinds?
Yeah.
That's what, as opposed to the brass?
Right? Yeah. A Cornet is a woodwind, I believe.
Sounds like it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought it was something that a lady wore.
I think it was a bonnet. I don't know. A corset.
Corset.
Is that what you're getting at?
Maybe. I think if you mix the bonnet and the corset, then you got a Cornet. Are you going to shoot those broadheads again this year?
I am. I know you shot them earlier last year.
I've probably shot some
in August.
The Cornets?
The Cornets.
Yeah.
You were looking for a long-range fixed blade broadhead.
Yeah.
And I remember you shot them, and you were like, that's awesome. And then, you know, you backed out and never shot them.
Yep.
Yeah. That's probably because of Casey's positivity.
I didn't have any. I didn't have any, so I didn't shoot them.
But
I
also
got to shoot what I got, you know.
I like to keep an open mind, and, you know, y'all introduced me to the Whitetail Specials.
Yeah, they're all
and
right.
And I don't know that I'll shoot anything else ever again.
Why, dude? Because you got to play the sweet music of the Cornet.
Guys, that I will keep. I will always keep two fixed blade, two mechanicals in my quiver.
What do you do with that other slot?
Nothing.
Just two and two.
Space. Yeah, leave space right
I really
there.
Don't even need. I just need two, but you know, I carry those just to fill my quiver. But
I got you.
Just
I gotta balance it out.
Yeah, you don't need them.
Tyler.
Yeah.
What do you think about September?
Well, I didn't say August.
You didn't?
No.
What did you do?
I was asking Brian questions.
Oh, okay.
I don't have to. August isn't
my
favorite month.
No, I would love to hear your August
means.
Plan because I need to know cool things to do then.
Well, if you're a guy who hunts some private, trimming shooting lanes is a good place or way to do this. Also, I think there's some public lands that do let you trim. So just whatever it is, if you got a permission or whatever to trim shooting lanes, at this point in the year, the growing season is pretty much over. So you trim your lanes in August, you're not going to have little shooters or whatever suckers shooting off of the branches and getting in the way. So good time to do it. It's also what's going to happen here in a second that I'm fixing to talk about in September. So it keeps you from messing up your deer hunting spots. What happens in September is deer shed velvet and are increasing testosterone, and most of the time they move their home range at least a little bit. Therefore, you haven't messed up anything by trimming shooting lanes, and you also, in September, should move your cameras from their summer range to a place where you intend to hunt and kill deer.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you don't know where that is, you should try to move your cameras and find places that deer have relocated to. And you can do this before the velvet shed, which is like first week of September, which could be a good thing as far as keeping your scent, you know, giving your scent some time to dissipate before deer move into that home range. Or you can do it after, you know, like right before rain or something too, which is another way to maybe get your ground scent out of the area. So that's my September move, is to take cameras and put them in spots where you can kill some deer.
That was your you said August is trimming shooting lanes, which I didn't even think about, but that is a good answer.
Thank you.
And September is move cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Those are both good answers.
Thank you.
You're a well thought out whitetail hunter.
Well, I get hype in August. April good. Through July, I struggled.
Yeah.
Struggled. So.
Brian?
September's when I start getting excited for the season.
For elk,
yeah. that's. So I'll go back to private land. In September is when I like to top all my feeders off.
Okay.
Because the next 2 months, I really don't want to pressure those areas.
That's a good idea.
Or get in there when, you know, the hunting gets good.
Get in there. I'm just singing every one of these things, man.
Oh, man. Another thing I like to do in September is move my cameras to water. So I hunt South Texas. I hunt to Oklahoma. I hunt here locally. South Texas, these deer are starting to split. And I have always had really good luck on water. And the first couple of weeks of archery season down there, usually they're still grouped up. Some of them are starting to split up, but they're really hitting water and they're patternable on water source.
That's interesting.
That's cool.
We actually had moved a camera to a small pond on some public in Texas one time in like August or September. We had bucks all the way up to like the week before opening day, if you remember that.
Yep, I do. And then
sad. And then they literally went away. I don't know if dudes were just getting out the week before opening day and they messed everything up or what, but
that
it was wild.
Falls well into my September answer. I put hang public land cameras because it seems as if on public ground, that's whenever it actually does some good. They start shedding velvet. They kind of fall into the fall ranges. I think you kind of mentioned that somewhat. And it would seem that your normal public land hunter does like to get out and stomp around in September. And that doesn't mean that you shouldn't. But you probably should really be paying attention to human sign whenever you go in September and see where people are scouting. Look for the orange tape because people still use it for some reason. You know, look for new stands or whatever it may be. And just use like one good loop quick scout in September is probably a pretty good idea. If it's if it's an area you're going to hunt and you know you want to hunt, I wouldn't spend a bunch of time in there tearing it up, you know, and just being crazy. But just making a loop through the place, getting a feel for the area, it's probably a pretty good time to do that in September. Then we roll into a month that people know as a deer hunting month. None of y'all actually mentioned hunt whitetails in September, which in Texas, you will be able to hunt whitetails in September this year.
It does rotate every handful of years. You get the last, I guess, the last weekend of September.
Yeah, so that's going to, because it will be at 100 degrees, and you don't want
to
do that.
Hey, right. Guess what, too? What? If you want to, you can shoot them with a crossbow, and it don't matter what the element says. It ain't like when nobody's listening
that's
about
right.
that.
That's right. And guys, let me tell you something. We ain't trying to tell you you're bad, okay?
I don't think we were that bad about it.
No, we weren't. I think we were pretty pragmatic about things. Yeah. But I think that you just want more people to write in and direct them to me whenever they do.
Michael directed that one to you,
did.
Actually.
He did. Here's what I do have to say. If you use the law for your bearing of what you think is permissible, that opens the door to a lot of things that I'm not okay with, just so you know. But you do what you want, and I'll do what I want. Okay.
And if it's lawful, you ain't going to jail or nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right. Greg will just say mean things about you.
I think I see a tornado over there.
October is a deer hunting month.
It is.
And I put time your hunts, because we all get antsy, time your hunts for premium days. There are two, maybe 3 days in October for me, locally at least, that are truly worth hunting. Unless you have a deer really patterned or something like that, right? There's a real good chance that you push the envelope in October and go in and mess things up more than you actually do some killing. So I would say time your hunts for premium days. That's the best thing you could do as a whitetail hunter in October. Brian.
There's some controversy in that.
Is there?
So
how many deer did you kill this October?
East Texas. we're really, guys.
What?
Way to go.
What?
I had to miss a deer at 15 yards, and you're gonna bring that back up.
No, I didn't. I just asked you how many did you kill. I didn't ask you how many you missed.
You knew what you were doing. You knew what you were doing, Casey.
This is the worst.
October.
Sorry, Brian.
It's happening.
Tell me about the controversy.
It's starting to happen. So I think October is overlooked for pre-rut here in East Texas.
Yeah?
I think a lot of people are focused on the 7th of November to the 14th-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And we usually do get a good cold front towards the end of October.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually see some really good rut activity.
No, I don't disagree with you
so
on that.
Hopefully by October, you know, in the beginning of October, one thing I like to do that I didn't get to do this year is kill does.
Mm-hmm.
Like to get some deer meat in the freezer and preparing myself for this November rut that's fixing to happen. Mm-hmm. But it always seems to start out of the several different locations that I do hunt across Texas and Oklahoma. It usually starts here in East Texas, I feel like.
Yeah.
Towards the end of October.
I think that lines up pretty good with my commentary on it, though. Like, there's premium days, and those are the ones you should hunt.
Yeah.
I think that in my hunting experience, I've tried to, like, make an October 14th cool front work, and it doesn't at all. I think of one time, really, in particular, I believe it was, like, the second week of October, probably, Tyler. Does that sound about right?
Sounds close.
We had a really good cold front. I mean, it probably got down in the 40s that night.
Yeah.
And Tyler and I sat a Texas public stand all day and did not see a deer the whole day.
That is just some East Texas greatness.
That is some East Texas stuff, and it wasn't worth doing.
So let me ask you this.
I'm pretty sure we had bucks on camera there all summer.
We did.
Lots of bucks.
Rager.
I can see the wheels spinning.
Yeah.
So you guys hunt all over the United States. Where do y'all usually see the first rut activity?
On Midwest whitetail.
That's it. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I mean, East Texas probably is a good answer because it's all mixed up.
Kansas or Nebraska or Wyoming or something usually is going to get colder weather.
I mean, that's my answer to this question is hunt up north.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, that's literally what I put is hunt up
for
north.
For the weather? Or for
it's colder. It's just going to be cooler. Deer are going to move around more. And there's something about, like, you know, Illinois, Wisconsin, Iowa, Ohio, like those places, there's something about them for whatever reason. It has to be, has to do with the diurnal period, I'm guessing, that causes deer to rut, or not rut, but show signs of rut earlier and cruising and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you just, and I think a lot of it is the cooler temps.
You know what else I think on that front, and I'm going to go with the cooler temp side of things, is I've been doing some gardening, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so average last frost dates are something I've been thinking about quite a bit lately. And our average last frost date is somewhere around the 2nd or 3rd of April. And there's also an average first frost date for fall gardening that you have to keep in mind, and you have to plant back from that, which makes fall gardening here pretty tough because it actually goes from 100 to frost very quickly where we live. It's kind of crazy. But I think that in more northern latitudes, at least in growing zones, which is kind of more according to like my point here, you're going to have a frost date that's usually before October 1st, and that first frost is going to kill a lot of the forbs out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that the deer have to shift their feeding patterns.
It's a good idea, man.
To other stuff, and
I like
makes
this.
Them move around a lot.
Yep.
And in particular, I can think of one of the buck truck episodes that we've been working on here lately has a little bit of a deer making use of kind of a new type of food source. Falling leaves in particular, and leaves that are about to fall apparently have something to them that deer really like. So
sugars, probably.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
I would imagine that is the case. And to kind of counter what you were saying about the earlier rut activity, in that same episode, you were scouting and looking at a really big buck, and you said something about he's going to go to that doe, and then it just walked past her like 5 feet from her and didn't even pay.
Yep.
Didn't act like she existed.
It was weird.
Yeah.
Walked down the same daggum trail, and the mm-hmm. doe like skirted off to the side like mm-hmm. rut was fixing to happen, and he just kept walking.
Didn't
even look at her.
Didn't care at all.
The weirdest thing ever.
But I think that that earlier frost date has a big impact on the way deer move, and I think that around here, there's going to be green stuff for them to eat until mid-November.
Until now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, it's been a dry spring for us.
Me and Eric actually set a stand here local in December, and there were still acorns in the trees.
How long did y'all sit? Like 45 minutes?
Oh, geez.
Oh my gosh, dude.
We put in a good 3 hours.
Eric, how long was it? Was it 3 hours?
Don't you do this to me.
Don't you tell the
did
truth,
you
Eric.
See the
don't
look
you
he
tell
gave
the
me?
Truth.
Yeah.
Come
don't
on.
Don't you dare tell the truth.
Come on. He says he doesn't remember, ladies and gentlemen.
I thought he said Acapatillo.
Yeah.
I couldn't hear.
I have trail camera evidence as to what happened, so it's fine.
the moral of the whole story was December, there were still acorns and trees around.
We are on the month of October.
Yeah, I know we are.
Okay.
I'm done with you guys.
You say that, but you're not taking your headset off, so we're fine. Let's move on to November. You've noticed as we've progressed that we've had more to talk about the past
year,
right?
We?
Because
this,
it's
this
actually
is the
months.
One we can spend 4 hours on.
I'm okay with that. How long are we into this podcast?
We
currently,
are
Brian?
44 minutes.
Okay,
into
good.
This,
we can take some time in November.
So we can spend
I
more time on this
the most
month,
important month
than they do in the stand. In this month.
No way.
If we spend one more minute.
I don't know where y'all got
they
this.
They would have to go to episode
I don't know where
two
you guys got this
podcast.
I don't know where y'all got it from, but, you know,
okay.
Stands are stupid.
Go That'll get you.
That's right. Saddles are better, right?
That's right. Dadgummit.
So I'm going to go first on November.
Oh.
Going to ruin it for everyone. Unless you want to.
Go ahead. Okay. I'm just playing.
Because I think we all are going to have good answers and good stuff.
I didn't even write an answer down.
Because you got so much to talk about.
That's right.
Yeah.
Even though you said it was overrated a while ago. So in November, you need to take time off work.
Dadgummit. You need to be hunting. That's exactly what I put.
Is it really?
Yes.
I'm sorry. If you call yourself a deer hunter, all right, I'm not going to call you out on your manhood or your make you turn in your hunting card or whatever, but you care about this stuff. You really do. And you only got so many Novembers in your life, right?
Yeah.
And guess what? Your boss, he probably ain't going to remember whether you did or didn't take off, mm-hmm. all right? And it probably ain't going to make that much of a difference. If you have the time.
If he's going to remember it, then don't be taking off other times of the year.
That's right. Use your time in November. That's take right. off time work in November. I mean, I think that a lot of guys get 2 weeks vacation. You should just use one. Use 5 days of it at least.
So I put take a week off work.
Yeah, take a week off work. That's it's
you're
four,
just walking all over my feet here.
It's sorry, man. I'm a foot walker. It's 30 days long, and you should be in the woods at least 12 of those days, I think, in that month. I mean, take you a whole week and then high grade the rest of them. Try to get a morning or evening here and there or whatever. Just do a lot of hunting in November.
Yep.
Sorry, Tyler.
It's good, man. Brian, what you got?
November hunting. I am trying to hunt the biggest deer I have on camera.
Okay. That's a neat answer.
That is a good answer.
So I'm really focused on that deer. I feel like that's your best opportunity to get your shooter buck down or shot. So run lots of cameras, find the deer I'm wanting to shoot, and I feel like November is when you're going to catch them in daylight. Hunt that deer.
Yeah.
O'Reilly Auto Parts are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. I don't know if you stopped in at an O'Reilly lately, but I use one because we have one right not too far from my house. People there are super helpful. I don't care if I'm getting boat batteries, car parts, whatever. Love those guys. They got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you don't have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free. In or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. If you need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, quick service, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you are a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts to be knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things do-it-yourself auto. You can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/meat eater. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/meat eater.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
You ever get that feeling you're stuck inside staring at screens and a primal urge kicks in? You crave wide open spaces, fresh air, the chance to connect with the land? Well, maybe it's time to find your own piece of the wild, but searching for property can be a maze. That's where land.com comes in. They got millions of listings across the country, from mountain ranches to hidden fishing holes. Their search tools are like a seasoned guide helping you narrow down what you want. Land.com isn't just about buying and selling. It's about finding a place to hunt, fish, explore, or simply sit by a campfire and listen to the crickets. So head over to land.com today to turn one day into today. Because trust me, there's nothing quite like the feeling of standing on your own piece of earth.
You know, funny enough, November scares me on that point.
Yeah.
Because I don't have, locally, I don't have big tracks to hunt. I just have my home property. So I'm thinking that I'm trying to get him killed before then, because there's a real good chance he's not on my place most of the time of November, because he's running around so much. But on the same note, there's a decent chance a new one comes in.
There is. That is one thing I really look forward to in November, is you're going to start seeing new deer also. Mm-hmm.
Have you done that quite a bit? Killed the one, the big one, in November?
I have.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you guys are kind of an earlier November. South Texas Thanksgiving weekend is always my favorite time to be there. Around here in Oklahoma is usually the November to November 14th time frame I like to really focus on, on around here.
I remember when we had a deer lease in South Texas. I guess you call it South Texas. You call it El Dorado, South Texas? I think it's South Texas. We would have family Thanksgiving and then head down there and hunt for kind of a long weekend type deal or whatever, you know. And the reason I remember it being that time of year and being so good is because we didn't have normal family Tupperware or whatever. Mm-hmm. We would just take a bunch of Thanksgiving leftovers and put it in a big old tinfoil ball thing. You know, you know what I'm talking about? Yep. I kind of double the tinfoil up and just like make a big old just pile of nasty leftovers
feast.
And ate that while we were at the deer lease. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I can remember that being the case. Tyler?
Mm.
What?
I think that since we already established we're taking a week off and we're hunting deer because big ones move around, I would say there are two things that I like a lot when I think about hunting rutting deer, and those two things are being in a pinch point, which is very obvious, but this one doesn't get a whole lot of press, that I really like this, but being close to doe bedding. I killed that one right there, Nameless, as he was looking for does bedded in doe bedding type stuff, right? I killed One-Eyed Jack over there. I killed him with a doe on December 2nd coming out of doe bedding. He had been bedded with her all day. That deer right there was bedded with does in a drainage, a big one, 2021.
That deer there followed the same path as another buck that was with a doe, right?
Yeah. Yep.
A Texas public land buck.
Yeah. So I just really like doe bedding areas. You can kind of get yourself into trouble if you're not careful around them, but overall those does are so freaked out by bucks at that time that they don't really pay attention to human intrusion quite as much as they normally would. They really just want to stay out of sight in the most thickest, nastiest that they can. So they're not super worried about humans that time of year, because they are just, they just listening to every twig crack around them and hoping that it's not a buck just getting ready to just be annoying as all get out. So I'd say if it was me in November, I would be sitting near doe bedding or in an awesome pinch. If you have like a place on private that sits in a nice pinch you can shoot across with your bow, then sit there and do like Brian and sit there all day.
That's cool. What do you do? Brian, do you sit? Have you ever done all day sits?
Never.
Never?
I'll never do an all day sit.
I don't think I did all day last year.
I've done them, yes, but never again.
Well, for mule deer you did, but as far as like conventional whitetail type stuff.
That was the worst middays. I did in 21 in Colorado the day before. I think it was the day before I shot my buck. I did it all day, and it was terrible. We literally didn't see a deer outside of like your normal seeing deer hours. Sat there all day in a place that had deer around, but just didn't see them moving. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if we hunted a little more eastern, like in the big woods stuff.
If it would be different.
Big different. You
might
know?
Be. You know, that's actually a good point, because they got so much timber and shade and just cover and stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
Shade is a big one there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man, November's fun. I can't believe y'all have more to say about November.
I mean, I could go on and on for sure, but you know, for the sake of the podcast, right. Like we can do high level tactics.
That's true, guys. Anytime. That's true. You know, honestly, it's easy for us to come up with stuff about November, and people probably want to know like the off months, like the better, like what can you do, right? And December is a unique month for this because in the South, it's a pretty big time deer hunting.
It's rutting. Right time.
For the Midwest, if you have the right property, it's your best chance to kill a big buck. For me, it's become one of my less favorite months.
November?
December.
Oh, December. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
now, that doesn't mean you can't do some killing, but I think it's probably you got to be just a little more tactical than just be like, oh, I'm just going to hunt that second rut or just, you know, some of that trailing rut activity. You start doing that, then it's a good way to strike out a couple days for sure. I felt that this year. So, December, Brian, tell me about your December.
December is when I really want to start focusing on food source. Ruts died down, and a lot of your local forage starting to die off, and they're really starting to hit destination food source.
Do you ever
areas.
Just dial the feeders up to throw for 10 or 15 seconds?
I do.
Yeah, in December.
So a private land tactic, you're going to start seeing some of those bigger, more mature bucks starting to come into those feeding areas, protein feeders and stuff like that. So that is I usually do dial it up.
The does are going to be around those things because they're starting to get hungry, and then bucks on that second rut, like you mentioned,
they're always thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yep. That is why you crank it up. You know, you want to keep those deer around there a little longer, not for you just to see them or get a picture of them, but to keep those does there in that area.
Yeah,
for that second rut period, especially in South Texas.
Dude, a family group of does in December can wear a handful of corn out real quick.
Yep.
Yeah.
They don't mess around either. You know how like deer sometimes will just go up to a feeder, pick up a kernel, eat, and look around. In December, they've been messed around so much. Mm-hmm. All they are like trying to just move in and move
it's
out.
Like the Chin's buffet.
That's it. That's it.
The green beans, maybe. I like
fried
them green beans a lot.
Dude.
I'll be honest.
I got
man.
Some of the day. They were tasty for sure.
That's some of the best green beans I've had, man.
Yeah, Tyler.
Yeah,
you are Mr. December.
That's what they say.
Yeah,
my dad being they.
You killed a deer in December this year.
Did I?
Mm-hmm.
I did.
Mm-hmm. That's a problem. He's killed too many.
Stop.
He has to really think about them now.
I did kill one in December. Did I kill one in December last year, too?
When? I don't think you did in 21.
Tu es mi December. Yeah, I don't know if it did. Anyway, December is a place that I've killed some. It's a time that I've killed some deer, for sure. Those two middle ones. For sure.
Yeah.
I have one that's similar to Brian, but here's something that we can do here in the South that people can't do north of Mason-Dixon very easily. They may can. I just don't know about it because, in my opinion, a lot of people in the Midwest like to complain about deer having such hard winters. Which is I'm not saying complain. I'm trying not to be negative about it, but like however you want to say that, they talk about it a lot.
It is a talking point.
Yes. So hunting a late season native food source is the thing to do in December, in my opinion. So, for instance, you killed a deer on the 1st of January, 2019. Infamously known as the meat buck.
Golly, the meat buck.
And when we opened up his stomach, it was like just chock full of blueberries. What were those blueberries from?
Those are from a non-native invasive plant called Japanese privet.
Yeah. So I put native, but I didn't mean native, but I meant like wild.
Oh, I didn't hear the word native when you said that. Sorry. I was texting our friend Mark Kenyon. Uh-oh. Who is
trying to learn
the chat.
From me?
Yeah, he's like, "Hey, when's that episode coming out? I want to listen."
yeah, that's exactly right. So, not necessarily native food sources. I guess I meant wild is what I mean. So, anything outside of agricultural practices, normal agricultural practices. But privet berries were in that deer's stomach. We also see anything that you can find that's green in the south a lot of times getting some browse pressure. So Japanese honeysuckle, which is also a non-native, but deer nasty. Like it. They hang around it. It's got cover and food for them in the late season. Another thing we talked about it on a podcast a couple times ago, maybe last week, it was the one before when we did the Q&A just within our group. I talked about like swamp and willow oak acorns just being full of tannins, orange flesh. They're dropping late. Brian, you mentioned acorns dropping late this past year. You get those in the late season, and it can really be the main place to kill deer in late season. And they are definitely dominated by them, by their stomachs. And late season is a good time to do that. You got less bucks on the landscape that time of year, man. Mm-hmm. So it is tough hunting no matter how you cut it usually, because a certain million number of whitetail bucks have been shot that across the U.S. at that point in the year a lot of times.
That's sad.
I know, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it, dude. You got you may have two or three big bucks on your trail camera that you're looking forward to maybe seeing this year. And by December, two of them may be dead. You may have one or two left, and then maybe a guy move in. I mean, your chances are cut in half or less a lot of times,
Sure enough. So. My December thing is scout for human pressure. Mm. If you're hunting public ground, at least, which I do in December quite a bit. If there's been people in there, they probably hammered it through the Thanksgiving weekend. And maybe even in early December, and then about that time they kind of get worn out and they're thinking about duck hunting or, family Christmas stuff or whatever. So there's a time period there in December when the public ground kind of gets a little less pressure, it seems, but the deer often have felt the pressure already, and they'll straight up move and change their home running grounds because of the pressure. So it's a pretty good time to go in, scout for human pressure. If you aren't seeing anything, maybe you are the human pressure, and find you a spot that doesn't have a lot of folks around on it. And if you find that, there's a good chance you find a decent number of deer. And if you hunt it smart for a couple weeks there, you can have some pretty good hunting.
It's a great idea, man.
January, postseason scouting is what I have down. For a lot of folks, it's the postseason. Tyler likes postseason scouting. As far as the concept of it, at least, and its benefits, and I'm kind of with you. All the sign is as fresh as it's going to be, and so you can tell, what happened or whatever. It's a good time of year to maybe even take an out-of-state trip and go scout a place you're thinking about hunting next year or whatever. So that's what I think about for January. What about you, Todd?
Yeah, mine is coupled with pig hunting. So you go out, you take some shotguns or whatever, and you go out chasing pigs, bows, or whatever they'll let you take. And walk around into the wind, preferably. But eventually, usually, we get so enthralled with the deer sign that we just forget about the wind and don't kill any pigs.
Squirrels, anything. Yep. Just walk around with a shotgun and look at deer signs. That's what we do.
And so, I know, actually, the place that Eric killed his first buck this year was a place we found postseason hunting squirrels, but postseason scouting. And we actually found that place on a snow, which we don't get snows very often here. But you guys up north do. And guess what? Not only do you get to see sign in the snow, but once the snow melts, it leaves the ground wet, and the deer tear up the ground pretty bad when they're walking on wet, muddy ground. So, I mean, truly, January and February, depending on where you live, can be really good months for that postseason stuff. And I do feel like I would way rather scout in January than I would in August or, really January, February, if I'm going to be scouting for deer on the ground, those are the 2 months, man, outside of being scouting on your way in or something like that during the season. What about you, Bri?
January is when I like to kind of top off everything again, feeder-wise, get them deer ready for the cold weather that's usually approaching that time of the year. Another thing I like to do is take inventory of the deer. Season's ended. Mm-hmm. I like to put out multiple feed locations, get the cameras back up and running, and see what bucks lived.
That's a good one, for sure. Especially in a state that people get to shoot deer with guns a lot and have a good amount of deer tags. You never know who made it.
Right? All the way into January.
Yeah.
I had a buck a couple years ago, man, that made it all the way to the last weekend of December. And then somebody just, a neighbor decided to shoot it and gut shot it and didn't find it. And the reason I know it was that deer is because of how many points that they said it had and how it never showed up again on camera.
It's funny, I never showed back up again after that episode.
Sad.
I have an inventory one for February, but it's inventory your gear.
Mm-hmm.
oftentimes, people have done their small game stuff or whatever you're going to do. February is a good time of year to be inside as well because it's usually cold everywhere. Even here, it's not very enjoyable outside in February. Some days are nice, but it's a good time of year to kind of recalculate all your stuff. Make sure you haven't lost anything. See if you need anything to replace, and you can budget for some of that stuff throughout the year too and think about what you might want to add for next year or whatever when it comes to gear. But I'm not a very organized person, so it's good for me to like do one like big organization, especially after deer season, because right now my truck is still deer season pretty much condition. Yes.
Ready to go.
It's just got a bunch of stuff
in it. We can just hop in and deer hunt out of Casey's truck right now.
I promise you we could.
And it's April.
There's two bows in there, dude. We're ready to go.
That gummit.
Yep. Yeah,
Ty. So I put forest stand improvement, FSI.
Oh.
That time of year, what you get in our neck of the woods, at least, is a bunch of 50 to 60 degree days on just your probably general days. I don't like working outside when it's hot because it's just like, especially running a chainsaw, you can get just so dagged. I'm talking boots just gushing water out like you just jumped in. Like I'm talking, last time I did it, did any kind of timber work in like August or July, I almost passed out, man. And I was in good shape, you know. But it's just miserable to do that kind of work when it's hot. So February is my time of year to do some some FSI. And what you get is if you do that in February, in my opinion, you get a lot of new growth that happens the next couple of months off of that, which is good, healthy, just, you know, protein-rich shoots that come off of the stuff that you're cutting. You know, what they call mineral stumps a lot of times happen. And also all the light that you create by cutting cedars down and big, you know, canopies down hits that floor, that forest floor. And throughout the months of March and April, you get that, I mean, I know it's non-native, but you get that Japanese honeysuckle that comes in or whatever and, you know, gives some food for the late season next year too. So I think February is a good time, in my opinion, to do that stuff. And I'm by no means an expert on that, guys. So just saying. What about you? Did you get February already?
I didn't.
You did January? Yeah.
February is when I like to start focusing on predators and hog control. And the next few months after February, you're going to start seeing some fawns. And I like to hunt those coats and pigs when the grass is not tall. Everything's dead. You can see a long distance. Usually more successful. So February, I really like to start focusing on predators and pigs.
Mm-hmm. Grass is a big thing. We've been talking about that a lot. Tyler had a good point about why people hit hogs high a lot of times because the grass covers the bottom third often, so you don't really consider it right.
Yeah.
So March, Brian.
March. Lead us in.
Bass fishing.
Yeah, I know.
I told y'all can do something besides deer hunting on one of the months.
Oh, well, did you? I didn't hear that.
March. It's shed time. Love to look for sheds. That also helps let you know what deer.
I'm trying to build one right now, actually.
How many East Texas sheds have you found in
tough.
March hunting?
I've found a lot. Not as much as in South Texas.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have the deer numbers compared to South
but
Texas.
You but have gone out in East Texas shed hunting. Like, that's the thing you're doing and found sheds.
Yep. It's you got some real nice days to those months, too, to go do that. I didn't go once so far this year.
I wouldn't
looking
start.
For sheds.
It's too late.
But I did in Oklahoma. I looked. I think last year we went up there in one day and found 20 something. Me and Asher, and we went the other day and didn't find one set. Oh,
man,
but there had been 10 guys driving around filling feeders and looking for them. Also, found some really good sets of horns. protein is something I want to start getting fired back up. I know there's a big controversy on protein. But once the horns, once these bucks lose their horns for the next couple of months while they're starting their regrowth, I do like to put out some protein and get that started.
I have some secondhand protein experience.
Do you?
Yep. I got a guy I know that you know as well who is on a lease that's a long-term lease where they have started feeding protein-rich feed and seen for sure results in body weight and antler size.
Here's something new. So protein...
But they have been... that it's not just like, hey, here's some protein. It's like, this is what you're going to eat. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like this is your diet. It ain't just here's some corn and here's some protein. And by the way, I only have 36 acres, so you're going to go over there later tonight mm-hmm. and get whatever you want, you know. So I mean, this is a 15,000-acre place, you know.
That's 100% protein?
They feed – they've got like – I think they got like 40 or 80 feed stations on it or something. I can't remember. It's like a lot of feed stations.
Yeah.
So
what you're saying is – and I'm not going to try to be argumentative on this because I'm not a big fan of protein. As if you listen, you probably know. But to have an effect, it has to be in mass and be like very strictly managed and done well. Yeah. So you almost, if you're going to make protein work, you kind of almost have to sacrifice the wildness of the creature to make it do it.
There's just lots of sacrifices. Mm-hmm. Financial ones too, right?
Yeah,
did you ever take protein when you were lifting
and
bodybuilding? How'd you feel about it?
Back then, I thought it was a good idea.
Yeah,
and now I don't.
You don't? Why not?
He just likes to fast now.
If you like, I can get 26 grams of protein from Greek yogurt in about 5 minutes, whereas a protein of whey protein is pretty much going to, it's the same type of protein. You know, it's a dairy-based protein that you're going to take in a shake, and it's probably going to increase your sugars.
Do you think that protein is something you needed to build muscle at the time?
You have to have protein in your body for sure.
Yeah, but I mean like a lot.
Yeah, you have to, it's like you're supposed to try to consume like 0.6 or 0.7 grams of protein per pound of body weight if you want to build or something. I might be off on that. I don't remember for sure. But why?
And you believe that? Science or whatever?
Science. Protein is
research?
Sure. Biology? Anatomy?
I mean, science is
nutrition.
Proper. It just...
I know. I'm just making a joke. I'm not trying to argue.
I'm not either. I'm just saying if you want me to call it something else, I will. But
no,
but do you know what I mean?
I just thought it was funny that you said the word science.
Okay. Only you, dude.
What I'm saying is that...
I guess my point is, just so you know, I feel like protein does build mass. And so I'm asking you if you think the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, of course it does.
But as a human... you can really control the amount of protein you put in your body mm-hmm. and the amount of work you do. So those are two things that can work together to make you more muscular, mm-hmm. right? And for a deer, they can't really control that nearly as much. But if you as a human can control that for them somewhat, mm-hmm. like you said, you're taking the wild out of it a little bit.
Yeah.
But you, I mean, it is a thing that can work.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, it just, I don't know how else to explain it other than.
Yeah. That's why I don't want to argue about it because my argument against it is that most situations, your limited amount of protein supplementation ain't doing jack.
No, diddly. That's right. That's exactly right.
That's my whole point. Yeah. I don't have a moral issue with feeding deer protein.
Mm.
Personally, I don't know. As far as like that situation you're talking about, there is like a sad part of it to me of like how cultured the deer become in like, hey, this is what you're going to eat, deer, and I'm going to shoot you, mm-hmm. you know, because you ate that. You know, it's kind of... I get it. I'm not saying it's bad.
Why can't I think of the word right now? Where you take care of husbandry.
Husbandry.
It's animal husbandry, which is different than hunting.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
A little
bit. Then you start to have some... legitimization of the word harvest.
Yeah.
Because you
isn't that being a good steward also is taking care of
it is.
The animals that we're trying to kill?
Yeah. It is.
It probably, who are you to define the word care? That's where you get into stuff.
You're to define the word care of animals because God gave you the dominion to
sure,
learn to
but
care for them.
Someone's, Keith Warren's definition of care is going to be a lot different than my definition
true.
Of care.
So just like you like with conservation, it's up to the individual mm-hmm. or ethics. It's up to the individual. So if Brian considers that care, then so be it, right?
Yes, correct. I've seen this.
Which, by the way, if I had money, I would for sure be feeding protein on
a
place in South Texas.
I got a little thing for the listeners. I want to tell you something that something I've always kind of messed around with. But beef all stock creep feed is a 14% protein. If you're going and buying deer protein in the 14 to 20% range for $25 a bag, look at creep all stock, and you're like 14 to 16% for like a third of the price.
This is good stuff, Brian. Hold on just a second.
But
I'm going to write this down.
But the deer, like a high protein food for deer would be more like 30%, wouldn't it?
Probably in the mid to upper 20s.
Okay.
Is a good one.
Isn't cottonseed, isn't that going to be one of the top?
I would imagine.
It's
cheap.
As it gets, right?
So I don't know if it's because it's cheap that people like it so much or if it actually
we're about
is
to go
high.
Down a rabbit
so
hole.
So here's the problem. There's crude protein and then there's like accessible protein or whatever, right? And those two things are two different things because they pass some of it because it doesn't digest right because it has to be the right type of protein.
Yep.
So I'm definitely talking outside of my wheelhouse here, but I do understand nutrition a little bit and how different proteins are metabolized.
That's why I tried
to
bridge the gap with your bodybuilding background.
Yeah, there's casein and other things that you take at different times because they're longer release, supposedly, right? Bro science, whatever. that's a cool point. Now, my question is, do the deer eat it as well?
Yes, they do.
Hey,
and
you were fixing to say something else though too. Don't get away from that.
I was talking about being a good steward, and you're nearly responsible for these animals that were in some ways overbreeding in our management practices. You know, we want a lot of deer. We want bighorns. If you get down South Texas and you're in an area, a feeder throws, and you have 30 deer come into that feeder. You know that habitat and surrounding area cannot take care of that herd or that population of deer. They are solely relying on the corn and the protein supplements that you and surrounding landowners are feeding them deer. So,
yeah.
And I think I really see it when I get down there and I'm like, man, how are these deer living on this environment down here other than what we're feeding them? And if we did quit feeding them, how many of these deer would survive?
Well,
and then I feel a responsibility in that nearly – I'm keeping some of those deer alive.
Well, it's that way across the country. If we truly stopped feeding deer across the country, and what you have to understand is soybean fields, corn fields, alfalfa fields all feed deer.
Yep.
If we stop feeding deer, the deer population that we know of right now will collapse entirely.
I think so.
Eliminated corn, soybean, and all that other stuff, any human supplementation, no matter if it's actually intended for human consumption or not. I'm not saying deer would go away. But I'm saying pre-Columbian Exchange, Iowa, the state we know of as Iowa, that area probably this is subjective, just on my opinion, but had 1/20th the amount of deer than it does now because it's just hardwood country.
But here's another thing: is and this is such a rabbit hole.
Is this February?
Deer.
I don't know.
Deer down there in South Texas.
March. We're on March.
Certainly, they may not have like a ton of stuff to eat. But you have cows in your place?
They are not all the time. So they'll rotate them sometimes through some of those pastures.
They graze, though.
Yep. They do.
I mean, deer can eat a lot of the same things that cows can eat.
Yep.
And so cows are just hammering some of that stuff, too. So in the end, like, maybe it can support that, but just not with cows.
Mm-hmm.
So there's
And there's also, like, and this is really dependent.
Is
right?
this but the, like, that big of a topic up north where they're actually
no,
everything
that's
they can
why,
eat
that's
is
what makes this podcast the coolest podcast in deer hunting.
That's right.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks that, corn and beans are here and they've always been here. That's not the case. But also, 30 deer show up at that feeder because that feeder has the ground worn down 1 foot down because it's been there for 15 years, yeah. and those deer know to be there at 5:45 p.m. Mm-hmm. So maybe for the most part, those 30 deer are supported by the acreage around there, but they all kind of started going that way about 3 hours before the feeder went off.
Yeah. yeah.
So they got that going too.
And there is a thing like what you're saying with if you get a lease and you start throwing corn on it in a place that's it doesn't show that there's been a feeder there or whatever maybe, and all of a sudden you got 30 deer coming after a month of doing that, it doesn't necessarily mean that ground can't support those deer. But if you do that for 5 years, then maybe you get to that point. You know what I mean? But you're not affecting it over a short-term period, really. Like, it's long-term periods that affect that. So it really depends on, like, who has the ground before you, how long you've had the ground, those kind of things, really, I think, in that context, too. So
I think
there's
too,
so many variables.
The best way to tell is if the country can support the deer is to just look at body
browse
quality.
Lines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. I mean, sure, the supplementation can help a little bit, especially because here's the point, guys. This is the dirty little secret. We want more deer on the landscape than the landscape can support because we want to kill 1/3 of them every year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
So that's like what you're talking about, part of the husbandry, part of the dominion, which people take out of context. But, like, we want to manage this ground to produce more animals than what the natural process outside of humans would accommodate, right? Because we want to take those animals away from the coyotes, away from the falcons, and away from those things and eat them in our houses,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's make it better than what's just out there normally.
Mm-hmm. You know what also we like doing? Just straight up deer hunting.
Yeah.
You know, like being out there and deer hunting, even when we're not killing them, it's like, sometimes it's just fun to be out there deer hunting because otherwise you're just sitting there working or being on a computer or whatever, you know? And it's like, this is fun, you know? Mm. So like, and you know what's, it's funner when you are seeing more deer. So that's another reason we want more deer out there.
It's another reason you want to get out of East Texas.
That's the reason why I like to go a place you can see pretty good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It just makes it more fun.
Whenever we had lease in South Texas, like, oh, yeah, I saw like 30, 40 deer tonight. Well, I was counting deer that were a half mile away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you could see.
Yeah, so you never had a chance of that sucker, but
right.
It's still fun to see it,
that's
you know?
That's it, man. That's it. Yeah, man, I saw a 10-point chase a doe over there. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's 4 properties over.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's cool.
At your house, if you see one a half mile away, it might be on the square.
That's right. Absolutely. I had some other overarching stuff that we might could talk about, but we definitely had a good rabbit hole there.
Mm-hmm.
There is one question that none of us really addressed that I think that we should get into. When do you plan your deer season?
March?
Is it March?
I don't know.
We haven't actually done a lot of planning around here. There's a little bit of stuff floating around out there. And is it a thing that just kind of develops until deer season happens?
I think the average guy plans their deer season pretty easily compared to us, which... Because I just know I've been in that position where it's like you got 3 or 4 deer hunting trips a year, and they're all probably to the same place. You know what I mean? Same lease or whatever. And so if that's what you got, then you kind of, you know, are just looking for 1 or 2 places to hunt deer that year. Mm-hmm. And that's cool. And that's fine. I'm not trying to make anything out of that. I'm just saying that, you know, for us, when we go forward talking about this conversation, our planning of deer is pretty intensive, and so we need to all just know that. You
a lot
know,
of logistics involved, too, because we're taking a lot of people when we go places.
Right. Cameras and everything else.
But let's say the Element podcast used to be an encouraging thing, and now it's very much become more like just rage. If we were trying to encourage someone to step out of what they normally do and do something different, hunt a new state, whatever it might be, when do you think – that they should start thinking about that stuff?
I mean, now is a good time because there are some things you can do that are for draw.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to get ahead of those. So it's definitely, once you say, okay, I'm not doing anything that's going to be a draw, you know, or I'm not doing anything out west, it's going to be a draw, like, then you can just chill and not do anything until, you know, July or whatever, whenever you want to. But, you know, if you're the guy that's hunting a lease, and you're probably going to be on that lease this year, or you're going to again, and you're not really worried about trying to go out of state and hunt some weird obscure whitetail population or whatever, then I would say, you know, for me, I'd start shooting in July and thinking about filling feeders in July or August probably, and, you know, doing the thing. What about you? What do you think? You, I mean, you kind of fall in this category.
I'll speak for the normal person. You guys are not normal.
Nope. That's right.
Watching you guys plan your hunts and season there's a lot more put into it than I thought. But I think once this season ends, your normal deer hunter, it kind of slowly develops until deer season. But most people are content with one deer lease and hunting it four times a year. And if that makes you happy, man, that's all you need to do.
Made me happy for a long time.
Yeah. You know? I think your normal hunter is content with that.
Yeah. Here's a warning on that. As soon as you do more, you're going to want to do more every year.
That's what I was fixing
year.
To say.
Okay. Yep.
I think if the normal person would push themselves to hunt, not even maybe a different species, but hunt a different state every year or something, and kind of find that new thing. Yeah, it's over for you. You know,
exactly.
It's addicting, man. And hunt till your heart's content.
It's pretty fun, man. You know, go
ahead.
Go now. You go.
I know that the reason I asked that question is sometimes you can end up in despair, like maybe your target buck got shot or whatever, and you start scrambling. In the past, we have tried to do the whole, okay, let me Google what states have an open season right now and how that lines up with the rut dates and try to do it last minute. And I have not seen that work out very well at all. I think that we talked ourselves out of it like 2 years in a row, pretty much trying to like last minute go find a deer to hunt or whatever. And just, you can just make it a bad idea real quick. So if you are interested in planning an out-of-state hunt or just a different area of the state or whatever, get on the ball quick on that. And you should be interested in that. I would encourage you to, at least. Maybe not should. I would encourage you to be interested in it, because I can promise you, when I go do new stuff, new places, I learn something that I can apply back home, and it helps me better deer hunter right here locally. And it's a good thing to do. So if you're thinking about that, you also might need a budget for it. We have got some old podcasts out there about some budgeting stuff. You remember what that was called, Tyler? What was that? Less dollars, more bucks,
yeah,
or something like that?
Yeah, that's right. That's a good idea. That's good remembering.
Hey, man, I got one. Eric told me a while ago. You know, he's got a good memory. There's some old podcasts we have about like some ways to budget for that. And what I'm saying is, you know, if you're going to do something like that, you might need to think about the money and what it costs and buy out-of-state tag or whatever, so and plan for it, as opposed to trying to make it happen last minute.
I don't know if you missed it or if you planned on it, but we haven't done March.
Brian did, and then we went off like crazy. Okay. And then mine is shed hunt, so I didn't have anything.
I got you.
All right, what do you got? Something unique?
Pickup cameras.
That's a good idea.
There's no reason for them to sit out there in March.
Yeah.
You got a bunch of does on the landscape.
A little like nothing headed buck, two-year-old right then on camera.
So, you know, if you're not, I mean, you can put them in pig areas, I guess, but really picking them up, cleaning them up, getting some new batteries in them and getting them ready for June, July is probably a good
idea. Get those old batteries out. That's a big point, dude. Yep. I can't tell you how many times I've put cameras up with batteries in them and then they mess up the camera.
Corrode or whatever,
yeah. So.
Hey, so we're an hour and 25 into this.
All right.
Were there any questions that you didn't address from today's live or Instagram stuff?
So we're going to do a lot more of these lives going forward this summer. There's some cool stuff we got coming up that'll be like live Instagram videos and stuff. But I don't think there's anything like everything was really particular questions. A lot of guys have like, when they ask a question, they have something in mind that's very personal to them about their situation or a buck situation. So usually that's the way it goes, and it doesn't really doesn't have a whole lot of implications for other people a lot of times. So
if somebody's listening and has a question and they want an answer, where would they? How would they
DMs
go about getting an answer?
Are a good place for it. Instagram or Facebook direct messages.
Element at themeateater.com is email address you can send stuff to.
But it's only questions and nice compliments.
That's right. Don't tell us.
We don't need any rage or argument. We have to talk about
in your state. Okay.
Yeah. We got to talk about stuff. And we have to have some opinions, okay? And I can promise you we're not always right.
Yeah,
okay?
If you don't like the opinions I've shared with you, wait till you hear the ones that I haven't shared, okay?
Rage Casey's email every day.
Yep.
Well, guys, Brian's the best hunter here. Remember that, and remember.
This show, Elephant.
Liberty.
You ever get that feeling? The walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins. Hey guys, turkey season is in full swing right now, and if you are planning on getting after it, make sure to pick up some Meat Eater Phelps turkey calls to stuff into the old turkey vest or into your fanny pack right now. I carry a few different things. I like to use mouth calls, and I like to use pot calls. Mouth calls or diaphragms, I like them because it gives you hand-free calling, meaning when you're working a bird up close, you can have your gun on your knee, finger on the trigger, ready to roll, and still be making turkey sounds. I like pot calls because I just like pot calls. I enjoy calling with a pot call. Whatever direction you go, including a box call, which I don't personally use too much, but they're fun and great, and I started out with them. Yanni, on the other hand, one of my main turkey hunting buddies, he loves box calls. And what's funny is I'll now and then look to him and give him the look that means get out your box call and find us a turkey. So it's not that I don't like him. I just have Yanni use his. Then I don't have to carry it. Go to Phelps Game Calls. Get calls that are made in the USA and get calls that'll get them close. Find yours at PhelpsGameCalls.com today.